Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investors Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investors Schooling.
And somebody screwed up royally at WPHT, so we're on not only 5 minutes late, we have no way of getting your phone calls in because the engineer wasn't around to talk to us and set us up properly. So obviously, we're going to have a really tough show today, but let's see what we can do to educate you anyway. I'm here with Army Murad, my co-host. Debbie is on vacation. I'm here with Carl Fisher, the amazing Carl Fisher.
Woo-hoo!
From Camaplan, who's going to teach us about IRAs and how to get IRAs and how to use IRAs to make more money. But first, I got to talk a little bit about, about
our situation.
Army. What? No.
Okay.
Our situation or the situation with the engineer?
No, the situation
with the engineer.
This morning,
yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. And by the way, this is when I quit the other show. Remember?
Yeah.
When the engineer was so bad that I had to.
So do you remember that they changed in the middle of the show from a repeat to a live show?
Yeah, that was in the other show. Yeah. That I finally had enough, and I said, I'm done.
I know, in
right,
the money
now,
chat now.
Now, this is the first time it's happened to us in 6 years.
Yeah, in WPHT.
And I do have to say that Natasha's new, and she didn't know how to do our show, and nobody told her, because this is PHT, typical PHT stuff. So it's not entirely her fault, but I do have to say that I'm not pleased at all, and we will definitely take it up with management over the week. So that's my rant for that. But I need to talk to you about your Tesla, man, because, I have to bust your balls about your Tesla again.
You should.
So I keep hearing things about Teslas not running in the winter.
He put a blanket over it, I heard.
Yeah.
How did he know?
A heated blanket, right?
How did he know?
So, putting a blanket over Tesla's not going to work. You know that, right?
So we went to do the pre-check test yesterday, the interview in Jersey. And, of course, we drove in my car. And the guys keep whining about the fact that he's so cold. So I took a blanket because, of course, I'm ready for this situation.
So wait. Why was I cold in your Tesla?
Because the heat don't work right now.
Because the heat doesn't work.
And
Wait. So he has a Tesla X, which is the most expensive Tesla, right?
Correct. No. Now there is the Cybertruck. I don't know how much those cost.
The Cybertruck, that's a joke, too.
I know.
So he has a Tesla X, and his Tesla X, first of all, the heat doesn't work. The glove, you can't open a glove box. Now, we were having a conversation before Armin came in a little while back about cars and, cars being better, Carl, than when we were kids, they were better.
So,
remember how you used to flip a latch and your glove box is open?
Yeah.
Well, his is electronic. So you have to push a button and it tells the computer a whole bunch of things before it goes and tells a solenoid to open
it's more than that. The glove box. Yeah, the glove box
so
is
you have
its
to get
own
a,
computer.
Wait, you're right. So you have to get an update in the computer in order to tell it to open the glove box.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
So if I need something from my glove box, I need to contact Elon Musk in Twitter. It's X, I'm sorry, in X. And to ask him to be able to open my glove box. So it's not ending there. I of course went to Tesla, and Tesla wanted like $2,000 to fix it.
The glove box?
No, the heat.
Oh.
Yeah.
How much to fix the glove box?
There is an update. It's coming in a few years.
Nobody cares about the glove box when you're freezing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you have warm, the hand warmers in your glove box, you can't get to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So to
but
me,
you didn't have hand warmers
so,
in there.
So I tell you what, to me, if a policeman stops me and wants to see my licenses, and like a
Your
crazy
registration
person,
and
I'm pressing the button, and nothing comes. I said, I'm sorry, police officer. I will go to Elon Musk about that, but I can't show you my license and registrations.
It's the glove box.
Because it doesn't open.
I think that's a great idea.
It's not over yet, because now we are in the FedEx situation. Of course, I didn't pay Tesla $2,000 to fix the heat because I was furious about their attitude. Every time you go there, it's like Do you know that this is an 80-year-old car? Do you know that this is an 80-year-old computer? Do you know that this is an 80-year... So you actually saying to me that you haven't built the car to be to last for more than 8 years? Should I throw it to the ocean right
That's
now?
Rough.
Because 8 years? It's insane. So I ordered a part, and of course, the supplier sent the part with... Larry, help me here.
FedEx.
FedEx.
But it absolutely doesn't have to be there ever.
And FedEx became the worst shipping company ever.
Oh, shipping.
Yeah.
I thought you said something else.
What I said?
Nothing. Don't say it, though.
It was shipping.
It was shipping. Yeah, I thought you said something else.
Ah.
And then we would have been in trouble.
Okay, but you can blame my accent.
Yes, it was your accent.
Exactly.
Yes.
They were the worst shipping company ever. So I keep getting updated that the guy was there and I wasn't there. And I'm sitting at home. Nobody comes. They just update the tablets. I don't want to say the
so
word again.
So last night,
it's
last
insane.
Night, Castaway was on with Tom Hanks. It was great. He had your package.
You saw that?
Yeah, he had your package. All right, so let's go. Let's go.
Let me get this one. I got a new Audi.
Ooh.
And
me too.
Is that a belly button or is that
no,
a car?
No, it's a car, an A8. But my glove box
doesn't open.
Cools things down.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, it has a refrigerator in it.
Yeah, I had no idea. But all I keep in there is my registration and the book.
Well, I think because you're in Florida,
but I can
that
open
makes
it.
Sense. But you know, my glove box right now cools things down too.
Yeah. Put a little snow around it.
All right, so let's get real quick. Let me talk a little bit about why Carl's here. And I think it's you, Carl. Because the last time you were here, we had a problem with the connection to the studio, to PhD was a problem. So it must be you.
Yeah.
So today we have some other issues, but so it must be you. But I want to actually go into some things that Carl does that are amazing. So Carl owns a company called Counterplan, and we talk about this all the time. We talk about buying properties in your IRA, lending money out of your IRA, or buying even investments in your IRA, something called a self-directed IRA. And Carl Fisher is the owner of a company called Counterplan, which is a custodian for self-directed IRAs. So let's talk about real quick. Why don't you explain what a self-directed IRA is?
Basically, a self-directed IRA gives you a lot more choices in what assets you want to own. Most people buy funds, stocks, bonds, etc. at their brokerage houses. What we do is we let people pick between gold, silver, real estate, notes, private placements, anything out there that the IRS doesn't prohibit, which is basically anything but life insurance and collectibles.
Okay, so now a lot of self-directed IRAs come, like if you went to, for example, I don't know, some brokerage house, they have something called a self-directed IRA, but it's only self-directed IRA within their
menu.
Investments, right. So if they have five investments, you can self-direct, you could pick one of those five investments, but that's not really a self-directed IRA.
No.
What you do is you basically say, hey, you can take that money and do anything you want with it, anything at all.
Right. You find what you want to invest in. You don't have a broker telling you, you know, buy this stock, buy this mutual fund, etc. So when brokerage houses use that, you have a menu to pick from what you can do with self-direction. And it really isn't any more diversity than what you... you know, what they pick for you.
Right. So now if I wanted to invest in real estate with a self-directed IRA, so if I, let's say I had, I don't know, let's say I had $500,000 and I wanted to put it into Counterplan, I give it to you, but if you don't invest that money. You're just a holding spot, correct?
Yeah. What we do is the paperwork so that it becomes an IRA and you have tax-free income, tax-free rent, or tax-free interest from a note, and or capital gains when you go and sell it. So it's just basically an asset, just like a stock or a bond, and your IRA owns it, and whatever it makes goes in there. And if it's a Roth, it's tax-free, and if it's a traditional, it's tax-deferred.
All right, so basically what's happening now is so somebody puts their money into an IRA, they want to buy a house with that IRA, and it's not a house they can live in, correct?
Correct. It has to be investments.
Right. Now, they're also not allowed to touch the money or even touch the house, technically. Like, they can't, so if they start collecting rent, they can't take the rent and put it in their pocket. They have to take the rent and put it into the IRA.
Right, but then they can take a distribution from the IRA
right.
if they want to.
And we talked about this earlier, and this is one of my favorite things. I say this all the time. If anybody out there has any money, if you have $1 million, $500,000, $2 million, whatever it is, and you're hitting that age 73, and you have forced to take your required minimum distribution, one of the greatest ways to take your required minimum distribution is to either invest in real estate and collect rent and take that rent back out as your RMD, or lend it to a real estate investor and take that interest or that payment, whatever they give you, and take that back out as your RMD. That way your investment never goes down. It actually stays the same.
Sure, you're not eating the seed corn.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Right, exactly. And the other thing, you know, that was changed is you're now allowed to continue making contributions after you reach the RMD age.
Now, that's insane to me.
So, I don't know. I'm not arguing with it. I can't change it.
Yeah.
I don't have the capability, but that was Secure Act 2 allowed people to do that.
When was that passed?
2 years ago.
Okay. So you can actually take your RMDs now and make contributions. Now, are they still tax deferred contributions if it's a traditional IRA?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you could actually contribute, and at that age, you contribute $8,000 this year, because it's $7,000 for everyone else, and it's $1,000 catch-up, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I always forget the numbers myself, but I believe it's $7,000 for everyone, and an extra $1,000 for catch-up.
For people over 50.
55, right. So
50.
Oh, you're 50? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mixed the numbers up, because 55 is for HSAs.
Correct.
I mix all the ages up.
Your accountant will know it.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyway, so if they're getting an income, let's say they're getting a retirement income, let's say it's a pension, and they're paying taxes on that pension income, they can now take $8,000, put that into the IRA, and write that off.
Have it tax deferred, right? Have it as a tax deductible contribution.
That's amazing. So now I'm actually starting to think about this. So we always say that Roth IRAs are better than traditional IRAs. Are they now better if you can continue to contribute to your IRA well into your 60s, 70s, and 80s?
Well, the 70s and 80s, I mean, I still like the Roth because there's no tax on it, right? And as you get older, those RMDs get bigger. So let's say you're keeping your seed corn, as I call it, at its same level because you're taking the earnings off of that. But at 115 years old, if you live that long, that distribution is going to be half of what your balance was at the end of the year. So the rent isn't going to cover it.
Right. You have to get more. You got to get more investments or make more money. But
Correct.
It's still going to cover a lot of it.
If you set your plan up for that, and it depends on where you are and how old you are.
So let's do this, because we're, obviously we're very knowledgeable in IRAs and Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs. Let's roll back, and, in case some people in the audience who don't fully understand what we're talking about, why don't you describe the difference between a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA?
Okay, pretty simple. When you put money into a traditional IRA, it's deductible, which means it comes off the top number. So, If you make $100,000 and you make a contribution of $7,000 this year, or $8,000, let's just say $7,000, then you're only going to pay tax on $93,000. Okay. If you make that same $7,000 contribution to a Roth and you made $100,000, you're still going to pay the tax on that $100,000.
Right.
But when you pull that money out, in 5, 10, 15 years, 20, 30 years from now, on the traditional account, you're going to pay tax on every bit of that money you pull out, the contribution as well as the earnings. If you do that with a Roth, you're going to pull out that money with zero tax. So I love zero tax.
Yeah, me too.
Right. So, and that's on your contributions because you've already paid those taxes. But more importantly, it's on all the earnings. So if 10, 15, 20 years, you double your money, you made all that tax-free.
Yeah,
and you don't know on your traditional IRA, what's the tax rate going to be when you pull that out in 5, 10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, it's kind of silly. They always used to say that your tax rate's going to be lower when you're older, and that's why you should put money into an IRA, but it's really not that true.
Well, right. One is you're supposedly not making as much, but who wants to set up a plan for that?
Yeah, right.
And two, you have no idea what tax rate the government's going to put you in. You know, you could be in the 92% tax rate when Kennedy was president, and not many people think you're going to be in the 28% one.
I always love talking about the 92% tax rate. So, because people don't understand how taxes are actually calculated, which is funny. Like, so when you said before, somebody making $100,000, they're not actually paying the first level of $100,000. They're actually, the first $13,800 is
tax-free.
Anyway, so they're not paying full taxes on $100,000. But it used to be the 92% tax rate or 97% tax rate?
92.
It used to be anything above $1 million.
Right.
So everybody knew how to hide that money, and they never paid it anyway, which is kind of, which I always found funny. But that's okay. It's just kind of interesting, the conversations that we have about taxes. Because I'm going to say that 90% of people in America have no idea how their taxes are calculated. I find it funny. I'll ask people.
Only 50% of them pay income tax.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Only 50%.
Do you know why?
No.
So here's the reason. The reason between the minimum standard deduction, which is $13,800 per person, or double that, what's that, $27,600
per household,
per husband and wife.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't even have to pay taxes or file a tax return. Those people. So they don't even need to. Right. Then you've got people who just are ignorant and just don't. And don't make enough money that the IRS cares.
Wait, the 13,000, first of all, we need to make it clear that for us, it can be a husband and husband. It doesn't have to be a husband and wife. Now, my question to you is, the 13,000 has to be net or gross?
No. It's gross.
It's gross.
Right, so net would be after you pay taxes. Gross is gross.
No, but gross is also before expenses.
No. You're talking about business owners. We're talking about people with an average job. Maybe they work at Wendy's and they make $15 an hour.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
They still have expenses like benefits, like the kids and all that, right?
No. Yeah. You're going into a different direction that we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. It's actually a great topic for another time.
Okay.
And don't bring it up again today.
Okay. Sure.
Because I know you. You'll bring it up 5 minutes again from now.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
All right, I also want to do this. I want to give out the phone number. I'm hoping it'll work. I don't know if
we
Natasha
have people,
will just have to tell me that somebody's on the line. 855-939-1137 is our phone number.
Correct.
855-939-1137. 855-939-1137 is our phone number.
And call, you call just to make sure if it works.
Yeah, you can call to make sure it works, sure. Exactly. But you can also call and ask us questions about IRAs, traditional IRAs, how to buy real estate with your IRA, how to lend money with your IRA, And it's great. So let's go back to CalPlan. So I always find this interesting, Carl, about your company. So if somebody buys a house with their IRA, right, you don't make any money on that.
No, we don't get a commission or anything.
Right. You only make money on a service fee.
Correct.
And the service fee that you're charging for is to make sure that it's IRS compliant.
And do the IRS reporting and provide a portal, et cetera, for the people and give them a statement just like Merrill and any other brokerage house.
Right. So they're giving you a statement. They're doing all this work for you. They're making sure it's compliant. You have a staff of a whole bunch of people now, right? How many people?
For operations, about 25.
25 wow. people. So think about this, right? So you give Carl, and it doesn't matter how much you give him. It could be $100,000. It could be $50,000. It could be $2 million. It could be $20 million. It doesn't matter.
Every year.
And he doesn't make any money on how much money you give him. He makes money on the reporting. So he basically charges for the reporting. And how much do you charge a year for that?
The transactions. We have two ways. One is based on the number of assets you have. So if you had a $1 million house, we would charge $300. If you had a $1 million house and a $100,000 house, you'd have two assets and we'd charge $600 for that.
So per asset, it's because you have to do reporting on each asset, correct?
Sure.
Right.
We have to do reporting on the cap. Plus, it's work for us.
Right.
Right. We have to be there at the closing, sign the paperwork. Collect the interest or the rent payments, whatever it is.
So $300 a year.
That's it.
$300. And I always look at Carl and go, Carl, how can you possibly, you know, feed 25 people in your company with $300 a year?
I'm going on a cruise.
Yeah, obviously, it's low margin,
right?
But we have high volume,
right?
So there's thousands of people that do this.
That's amazing.
It is.
It's absolutely amazing. So it's incredible.
People like to invest in what they know and understand, and if they're in real estate or hard money lending, or they like certain private placements, that's great.
So 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137 is our phone number, and if you want to call in, you can. We'll try to hopefully we'll get connected to Natasha, and we'll be able to connect you guys to us because this is a fascinating subject. And you got people there, especially on this station. You got the average person in this station is probably in their 60s, right? And if you're 20-year-old listening to this station, good for you. You'll probably get better knowledge than listening to some of these other dopey stations. But the average person in listening to this station is in their 60s-ish, right? Maybe more. And these people have IRAs. They have traditional IRAs. They have Roth IRAs. And they don't quite know what to do with this money. And we talk about it all the time. We talk about, you can lend it to a real estate investor. By the way, I always like to just real quickly put a disclaimer. I'm not looking for your money. I don't care. We do borrow money from people's IRAs. We do borrow money from their Roths and their traditional IRAs. But I'm not soliciting for money. I'm educating on what we do because I want to be really clear that this is not a solicitation for money. It's even Carl's not a solicitation for money. It's just he's here to explain what you can do. And we recommend Camel Plan. I'll tell you the number one reason we recommend Camel Plan, because I know Carl. So I know if I have a problem, I can call Carl or I can call his son Ryan, and I can say, "Hey, I got a problem. Can you solve it?" And it's mostly you want to know whose fault it is most of the time.
Me?
No, mine. Like 98% of the time, I call Carl or Ryan. They're like, "Yeah, because you didn't do this." I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's my fault. Sorry." Because I've never actually seen them. Not be able to work something out. Their paperwork is simple, but I hate paperwork. So I'll fill out something wrong, and then I'll call them up and say, "Hey, I filled this paperwork wrong," or something. So that's why, we recommend Capital Plan. By the way, when you come to investor schooling, one of the things that you're gonna know is we recommend a lot of people, and almost never do we make any commission on anyone we recommend. Like Carl won't give me any money. I don't even want it, to be honest with you. If he's only getting $300, what am I gonna get? Right. It's like I won't get any money from Carl for referring him, even when we talk about some of the other people who come to investor schooling.
But your clients do.
Yeah.
Do make a savings because we give them a reduction if they come.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right. We take off the initial fee, right?
The application
fee. Right. The application fee is how much normally?
$75.
And now if they do go through us, it's how much?
$25, I think.
Okay,
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, you don't even know either anymore, I know.
you save $50.
Yeah, so you save $50 in your application fee. And it's funny because we're talking about millions of dollars here, and we're going to save you $50 anyway. But it is what it is. But the idea is we trust these people. We teach how to invest money with your IRA, how to use your traditional IRA, how to create a self-directed IRA and make money. Now, you've had some people in your that have become clients of yours that have really crushed it in some businesses. They took their IRA money and put it into businesses, correct?
Some have, yep. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, most of the people are buying real estate. And when I say real estate, that can be raw land. It'd be a commercial retail spot. It could be multifamily if you're doing it through a private placement. Other people have turned their IRAs into mini banks and lent money to real estate investors, such as yourself or other people out there, or put their IRAs together and bought a property, did a joint venture. So there's all kinds of strategies and ways for people to do it. But I do want to tell you that Ryan has left the company and is out doing his own work. But our staff will take good care of any of our clients.
Well, I'll ask for you for now and then.
Say it again?
I'll ask for you for now and then.
Yeah, they're great. No, but feel free. If you don't get, if our staff can't answer it, all those questions go to me.
They always answer. Yeah. I haven't called you guys probably in 2 years with a question.
Yeah.
It was in the beginning, the first couple I did, years ago, first couple I did. So I actually pay a lot of money to Carol Plan every month because I'm not paying it to you. I'm actually paying it to the IRA holders, but it goes to you. And then you distribute it to their IRA.
Right. It goes into their IRA account when you mail it to us.
Right. So it's really neat. So by the way, if you guys want to learn how to invest in real estate using your IRA, or if you want to find out what you should do with your IRA, this is just general conversations. 855-939-1137 is our phone number. 855-939-1137. You can call in now. Hopefully we'll be able to get through. 855-939-1137. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions on how to do IRAs. So I have a question for you, Omri.
Go.
How old are you?
I am 38.
Do you have an IRA yet?
No, not yet. So this is going to be the first year for me to do an IRA.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could actually go back and go for last year, too. You can contribute for last year, too.
What do you mean?
If you open up your account before April 15th and make a contribution, it'll go for 2023.
Really?
And yeah, so you can still
do another one for 2024. So if you want to, you know, you can put $6,500 in for 2023 and then $7,000.
I love America.
Why?
Because the laws are very pro the people.
You think so?
I do.
But I don't disagree with you. I just find it interesting that, you know, we were talking about this earlier. So Carl, I was having a sidebar conversation before we came on the air. When we talked about being able to still contribute, the tax laws were written for the rich. And once you understand them, and we teach a lot of them, once you understand them, you realize that, you know, it's the middle class who's ignorant that pays the most taxes.
It's the education.
Education, that's it.
Yeah. It is the education.
Right, so you need to learn.
If you get all your papers and you throw it at your accountant, and you don't understand why you pay so much taxes without even understanding what are your deductions, I blame the person.
Who? The person or the accountant?
No,
the person. Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
Not the accountant.
Right.
Because there are many accountants there. Everybody knows their own laws and rules. And yeah, we have a lot of accountants that are just before retirement. My worker, Chino, just showed me his tax return. And I was amazed. Like, where is your truck?
Oh,
where's
no.
your
really?
Time? Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. And I said, okay, I hope it's not filed yet. This is a draft. Throw it to the garbage, and we start all over.
Who's he filing with, H&R Block?
I don't know who's who. Huh. I don't know who. He has a guy that, of course, speaks Spanish, so it helps him.
Right.
But apparently he doesn't know what he's doing. So he's paying a lot in taxes.
Wow.
Which he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't. So
yeah, I'll help you look at that too.
We all need to understand that.
Yeah. So Armory has a small contracting business. And he has a guy. His first name is Chino, and he does a lot of work for me. He does a lot of work for Armory. Does a lot of work for some of the students. He's actually nice business moving up.
Mm-hmm.
But Armory pays him a salary. So he pays him a W-2 salary.
He's in a paycheck, yeah.
And he's got a whole bunch of expenses that he should be able to put in. He actually should form his own corporation. And you should pay 1099.
Maybe, yeah.
That would give him more deductions.
Somebody should be looking at this, but where do they teach that? Right?
I mean, investor schooling is one place, but yeah, nobody, exactly, nowhere. Right.
I went to an Ivy League college, and they didn't teach me that.
Right.
And I've learned more talking to practitioners and going to places like the investor schooling to learn those types of strategies, laws, and the way to count it.
When I found out all the things that people don't know about money, it amazed me. I wrote a book on it.
And that's exactly
it's called Money Hacks, right. And it's a book that talks all about, because people don't know anything about money.
Yeah. One of the things that amazed me the most is the fact that I have two children that I can hire for the business.
Yes.
So many people listen to that right now, and they said, no way. You can't hire a seven-year-old. You need to come to investor schooling and understand that this is completely legal.
So now it's illegal. So you could actually hire them for how much? $13,800.
A year.
And they won't pay tax on that. We talked about that earlier.
Of course.
They won't pay taxes on that because they don't even have to file a return. Interestingly enough, if you have a business, which is how you're hiring them, you can write that off as salary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you know, paid to the kids.
Yes, correct. Right?
So but now you may have to pay Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You have to pay
on their name.
Under their name, yes.
Okay.
Right. It's a little bit, but just a little bit of money. It's not much, especially if it's $13,000.
Yeah, it's 15%, something like that.
Right, exactly. That's really, really small.
Yeah.
So you're paying that.
It's better than yours.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
And now the really interesting thing is you take that $13,800 and you open up a Roth IRA.
For them.
For them. $6,500, $7,000 this year.
And if they want to use it for their education, because it's a Roth IRA, they can.
You've been paying attention to class.
Sometimes.
Yeah, some of it they can use.
They could use the Roth IRA.
Some of it.
What do you mean some of it?
They can't take out the earnings.
Okay.
But they can take the principal. They can take all the principal out.
Okay, yeah. But not the earnings.
And then $10,000 worth of earnings.
Okay. And they can keep saving there until they will retire.
Yep.
Under the same, and then the other thing too
is remember that you gave them that money tax deductible to your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you opened an account with them. So you put $6,000 or $7,000 into it. You have $5,800 left. Now you use that $5,800 to buy their clothes, or their bicycle, or their toys, and you're basically buying their toys and their bicycle and their things
from their own money.
No, from money that you tax deducted out of your business.
I know.
This is great stuff. I love this stuff.
So I do have a question about that.
Sure.
I think we discussed that before, mainly with Dr. Deb. Does I need to put them on a payroll, or can they be like a 1099?
Better to put them on a payroll. It can't be 1099. But you want to put them on a payroll, and you want to actually hire a payroll company to do it. The only reason you want to do that is so the IRS ever comes back to you and says, did you really do this? You can prove you did.
So the thing about that is, if I'm putting them on a payroll, right, now I need to pay for them workers' comps, which I don't even know how to describe the position to the insurance
That's
company.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
It's an interesting point, I know. Medicare, Social Security.
I believe you can get workers' comp, you can get exclusion for family members.
Okay.
I had that.
I need to
and
check
also,
that.
Also,
it's
insurance.
Small anyway.
Also you know,
if they're doing
like
office
5%
work.
Those days, yeah.
Workman's comp?
Yeah. Depend on the position, actually.
If you're a roofer, it's bad.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a administrative person in the office, it's not
okay.
Too bad. Depends on what the state is.
Yeah.
And then the other one is you can also do an educational savings account, which all the earnings and the contributions can be taken out to pay for any schooling up until they're 30 years old.
So you're talking about a...
Coverdell.
Thank you. Yeah. ESA.
Coverdell ESA, yeah, right.
Which is funny because Education Savings Account is what it's called.
Right.
And they call it a Coverdell just to confuse you.
Or a CISA.
Yeah. Just to confuse you, right. Which I never understood because it's like, you know, it's just simply an Education Savings Account.
Right. Works like a Roth for education.
Right. Exactly.
I'm very worried.
Why?
So it's 10:38 right now.
Yes.
Do you know what time we are off air?
I'm not worried about it. Don't worry about it. You know,
when the music starts,
I'm past. I'm past the problems
scenario
this morning.
Here. Yeah,
I want to keep doing the show. You know what I mean? I got Carl here. He's a great guy, and
we have a show about money.
We have a show about money. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So,
flew up last night just to be here, Larry.
I know you flew in,
right?
So listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give me. You flew first class, right?
I did.
All right, good. I want you to give me the tickets, the price of the tickets,
uh-huh.
And I'm going to send it to PHT.
Okay. Good.
All right, and they're going to reimburse us.
Good. Great.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. We'll go out to dinner.
Dinner. Right.
So you flew up first class. The plane took off at the time he was supposed to take off?
He went from Florida to Pennsylvania.
No.
He didn't take off at the time.
No, it did not.
So I have a question for you about that because we had an experience this week, me and him. Because the flight was delayed and you were on the plane, I guess, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't want to tell you the whole story, but yeah.
No, I want to hear the story.
Well, we have a whole story, too. We were supposed to buy a mobile home park last week that we got delayed to next week because we couldn't get there.
Have you been served food and drink while you were on the ground?
No. No, drink I have.
He's in first class. He gets all the drinks he wants.
Yes,
drink but not food yet.
No, but they would have brought him cookies if he asked.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but you can't do that in Maine. You can do that in first class.
Yeah, only first class, I know.
Right.
Yeah, so Larry will tell the story.
All right, so now we got to go off on another tangent, right? You know, but it was funny because I wanted to do this all in the intro today. I wanted to talk about all this stuff.
You went in first class.
Well, you might as well talk about it, right? So I always fly first class. Always, because I just don't want to deal with it. I want the bigger seats. I want to be comfortable. You know, I like getting my drink. You know, just, you know, the fact that I've, you know, come this far, I want to also, you know, enjoy it, right? So I'm always, and we're going to buy this mobile home park. We're supposed to close on Wednesday, so we're flying up Tuesday. So what happens Tuesday is a major snowstorm, or a minor major snowstorm, whatever it was. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I check the flight. Flight's still good. 5 o'clock, check the flight, still good. I got to pick him up at 6. I'm on my way to pick him up. I check the flight's still good. We get to the airport. We go through pre-check. 45 minutes later, he comes to not pre-check. So I made him get pre-checked this week, but that's another story. We get together, we go up to the lounge, you know, the Admirals Club, American Airlines Admirals Club. We have a nice, enjoyable breakfast, right? Then we go down, and we get on a plane, and we didn't I didn't buy first class this time because, you know, Army's like, stop buying first class. You're spending all our money because, you know, we have this pot of money to buy this mobile home park. Uh-huh. And obviously, this is his own business. And he's like, stop spending all this money.
Yeah.
Like, fine, I'll fly economy just for you. So we squish ourselves into these seats, right? So there's somebody else sitting next to Army. He's in the middle.
They became smaller.
They were definitely smaller. So we squish ourselves into the seats and they load the plane. And all of a sudden, the pilot gets on the phone and gets on the intercom and says, we can't move because the loader that loads the luggage is stuck in the snow. And I'm like, really? I mean, come on. You can't take five of those guys downstairs just to push this thing out of the way? I mean, how big is the loader? A loader is smaller than a car.
We volunteered to go down off the plane and push it.
Yeah, we did. So they finally pushed the loader. An hour later, they finally pushed the loader out of the way. All right, then we start. He goes, okay, we're going to back up. We start the taxi. And we're taxiing, and I'm like,
we get into the runway.
This is taking a really long time to taxi. So I open up the visor, I look out the window, and I see the gate. We're heading back to the gate. So now, that was another half an hour to make this big circle around the runway, back to the gate.
Over 2 hours on the plane.
We're in the plane for an hour and a half now. And, you know, and we always call Army the immigrant. Right? Because he self-proclaimed his name as the immigrant. So I put on Facebook, first time I don't fly first class, I'm stuck sitting next to an immigrant. So Facebook lights up. Facebook goes crazy because of what I said, because they think I'm insulting immigrants, right? So you got anything from people going, throw the guy off the plane to take him to New York and drop him off. So that was kind of a sidebar.
It was something about why they are not crossing from Mexico.
I mean, people actually called me a racist because I said I'm sitting next to an immigrant. They're like, who cares if you're sitting next to an immigrant? No, you don't know the inside joke. The inside joke is we call him the immigrant.
Of course, yeah.
Right. So anyway, we were on the plane. They pull up to the gate, and the pilot comes on and goes, one of our generators died, and we're not sure if it's a good idea to take off. Obviously, it's not a good idea to take off. So we sit in the plane another 20 minutes, and he finally says, everybody off the plane. We'll see if we can fix it. So we wait for 3 hours in the airport for them to fix it, and every hour we get a notice that says, it's now boarding, and we get there, and it's not boarding.
While there is no plane, and the pilot just left the Home Depot to buy a generator.
Yeah, he went to Home Depot, right. So finally, they canceled the flight, and we went home, and now we had to reschedule.
Yeah.
We haven't bought, we had to close the mobile home park this week. So, I put down on Facebook, flight's canceled, now I have to drive the immigrant home. And people were like, oh, that's so nice of you to drive somebody home. I'm like, you don't understand, this is the guy I came with. But I just thought it was very funny.
All the people that are so much against racism turn up to be very racist.
Don't they?
I
know, it's very interesting. It's a kind of a strange
phenomenon. And yesterday we went for the TSA pre-check interview, okay? And the guy in the interview read my visa and say, immigrant. And of course I'm not getting an insult. That's what state in my
visa. He's an immigrant. I mean, you know, Carl, were you an immigrant or were your parents immigrants?
My grandfather.
Good.
Yeah, so we're all immigrants,
Someone
right?
was immigrant.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
That's the nation.
Not all of us speak with that accent, though.
No.
Give the phone number out so we could turn people on.
Someone
again.
Will actually answer them?
Probably not.
Okay. It's 855-939-1137. Again, it's 855-939-1137. Kimmy, you are welcome to call us just to check if it's actually working today.
855-939-1137. You want to call about IRAs? If you want to call the immigrant and ask him to tell the phone number, we can.
We should.
I didn't do any commercials today because I'm not sure if they know how to do it at the station, so we're just going to keep going. All right, so Carl, let's go back to you, right?
One thing I do want to tell you, if any of your flights are on those Boeing Maxes, they're pulling them offline.
737?
The Boeing Max, I'm not sure which.
No, there's a 37. There's a 737. Then there's three different versions of a 737. The 737 Max
is the one that
they had two crashes when
I think so, yeah. And they basically have changed some of my flights. And I don't know what they've changed them to, but I'll go back and look.
So I was pretty sure they fixed all of them, no?
So it's not the MAX.
Well, they're taking them off and fixing them, supposedly.
So the MAX
or checking them, yeah.
Right. So here's what happened. So the Alaska Airlines, the door popped off. The door plug popped off. You know about that?
No.
Yeah, so they were mid-flight, one of the doors just released itself.
In the middle
of flight.
Yeah, and just so you know, those masks did come down, so they're really there.
And the nice thing about that, too, is you had to make sure you took your mask off to put the mask on.
Finally, a mask that actually do something.
Yeah, exactly. So that door came off, and then they started checking a bunch of other 737s, which, by the way, that was a plane that we were on. We were on a 737.
I know.
And we're scheduled to get on the same exact plane, the same exact number, on Tuesday. So we'll see. Maybe they may move it. So the 737.
But now it's a first class.
Now it'll be first class, so at least we'll get to drink. Yeah.
If it takes off.
If it takes off. Right. Yeah. Well,
I told him, he argued with me, because When we scheduled the flight, I said, let's go Frontier. And he's like, I don't want to go Frontier. And I said, listen, you don't get it. With Frontier, you always take off. Sometimes you're not landing, but you always take off.
Actually, luckily, it's the opposite. Most of the time, yeah. I like Frontier and Spirit. Oh, no. I did Frontier once. I did Spirit once. I'm like, no.
Spirit,
not for me.
Yeah. I can't go
Not
Spirit.
For me. All right. But anyway, so... Where are we? So
I have done Frontier because they have straight through flights to a lot of places.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's funny. I had to do Spirit one time because I had to go back from Las Vegas to Los Angeles really early in the morning, and it was the only flight. And it wasn't terrible. It was just that the trying to check in was impossible.
Okay.
That was the part I had a problem with. Where, you know, American Airlines, I just woke up to the priority service thing, and boom, 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 I'm in. I'm on my plane in 10 minutes. Where Spirit, you walked in, there was a line. I couldn't believe how long the line was to check in.
Yeah.
So that was where I just didn't know how
and
Spirit
cost
works.
Money.
Yeah, well, everything costs money.
Yeah.
The longer you stand in line, the more money it costs you. they give you a meter, and they charge you, you know, 5 cents a minute or something.
Inflation.
Yeah, and if you want air, that's another cost.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So we only have 10 minutes to talk about you and Cabin Planet. I want to get back to you because you know, this is all about you, Carl.
All right.
Because, you know, every time we have you, something goes wrong.
I know. I'm starting to get a complex.
That's why we invited guests, just to be able to blame someone.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I wasn't here one day and the microphone got disconnected. I wasn't here. And I was still blamed for disconnecting the microphone.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. I sat down and my microphone just unplugged itself.
While you were there?
As soon as I started the show. Like, we did the radio check before, and the second I started the show, the microphone unplugged itself. It was the weirdest thing. Anyway.
Ghosts.
Yeah, gremlins.
Gremlins.
Yeah, gremlins.
Tommy.
Right. All right. So, getting back to the account plan. So, there's all kinds of things you can do. So, you can do a Roth IRA, you can donate an IRA, and I also do something called an HSA, which is a health savings plan. Now,
those are my favorite.
I know, but people don't even know about these.
Tax deductible going in and tax free coming out.
Right. Well, they're not completely tax free going out. So
if they're for medical expenses,
they're
tax free.
So one of the cool things is I always talk about my $900 glasses that I'm wearing. And, you know, the whole what happened was I had a pair of glasses and I got a dog. Right. And when I got a dog, you know, you get a puppy and
dog
they chew everything.
Glasses.
And my dog ate my glasses. So I had to go to lens crafters.
I've seen kids like you in school.
Yeah, not my homework, my glasses.
Yeah.
So I go to lens crafters, and I had to go to lens crafters, and I had to get another pair of glasses. I had to get one in a hurry, and I pick out these lenses of this frame that's some name brand. I don't even know what it is, right? And I really liked them. And when I was all done, it was $960 for my glasses. And I'm like, holy cow. But I bought them anyway. Now, most of you guys would be smart enough not to spend $960, but most of you guys can't write off that $960 in glasses. I can. And the reason I can is because I have an HSA. Now, the interesting part about that is I'm not even going to write it off because that was 3 years ago. I didn't write it off then. I'm going to write it off when I'm 65. When I take my money out of my HSA, and then I give all the receipts for all the money that I've spent for all my medical expenses for the last 10 years, and each dollar that I put in that I actually get a tax deduction for this year, I get the tax deduction for it. I don't have to pay that tax deduction back when I take the money back out because all I have to do is show the receipts.
Exactly. I take a credit card just for medical expenses. I buy everything on that credit card.
Oh,
the credit card gives me a statement at the end of the year, and then you just add those up every year and, you know, minimizes your bookkeeping.
Now, there are some companies that actually have a tracking system, and I don't even know how they make any money because they don't charge me anything for this tracking system.
I don't get what you just mentioned. So right now, you are buying the glasses from your own money.
Right.
But you keep the receipt.
Right.
So there is no tax deduction for this year.
Right.
There is only tax deduction when you pull the money from your HSA.
Right. So you need to understand.
No. When he puts money into his HSA this year, he gets a deduction. He'll put $3,000 or $7,000 into his
and
HSA.
That depends.
I think it's $7,800.
$7,800, right? He gets that deduction no matter what.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's deductible. Now, if he wanted to take that $960 out this year, he could and pay no tax on it.
From the $7,800 or from money that is there from previous years.
Right. Exactly.
Or from the note that he lent that out and the interest is coming back into.
Now, did you hear what he just said? That's the key. You can use your HSA just like an IRA. You can buy houses with it. You can lend money to other people. You can invest in corporations with it. And you can make your HSA grow really big. And then you only have to pay taxes on whatever medical expense you don't have.
So if there is tax deduction on your HSA every year you contribute to your HSA, there is a tax deduction.
Right.
You say that you will need to pay tax on this money when you retire?
No. You'll never pay tax on it if you take it out.
As long as you have medical expenses.
As long as you have medical expenses.
Right. So if you have, from let's say if you start your HSA now.
Yeah.
From age 38, right? And you put this money in every year. And you got to make sure you save your receipts, though, for all this time. That's the key. You got to have a system that saves your receipts. He was saying he uses one credit card, which is very smart.
Also, the health insurance?
Not your health insurance.
Not health insurance.
Your health insurance premiums are not.
Deductible. Okay.
Here's something interesting. Most things that people are not deductible for not applicable to health insurance or not deductible are deductible in your HSA. Gym memberships are deductible in your HSA. Vitamins are deductible in your HSA. It's
anything.
Chiropractors are deductible.
Right. And travel to and from
the doctors.
To the doctors, to the gym. Right. And for your kids and your wife. As long as you're paying, you know, up to age 26 for your kids. So you keep that record the whole time.
Okay.
And then you get to take the deductions. You're 38, so in 25 years, if you want that, you go and you say, here's all my receipts.
Yeah.
And I want that money, and I'm going to go buy a Harley or a car or a vacation. Or
and what about the rest of the money in the HSA? I'm getting only the amount that I have receipts for.
No, you can get it all. Okay. Let's say you had $50,000 in your account,
okay,
and you only had receipts for $45,000.
Great.
And you took the $50,000 out. You have to take the $5,000. You have to pay taxes on the $5,000.
Only over the $5,000,
right?
And only on the profit over the $5,000.
No.
Over the principal too.
Because you didn't get a deduction.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, because you didn't pay tax on it.
No, I was pretty sure, like the IRA, that once you take the money when you retire, at a certain age, there is no tax anyway. You said with an HSA that there is a tax when you take it after retirement.
Well, only if you don't have the
receipts.
Right.
I understand.
Exactly.
Okay.
But when you say when you retire with your IRA, it has to be a Roth for no tax.
Correct.
Traditional, there is.
I know.
All right.
Yeah.
So I want to do this because this is the stuff we teach in investor schooling. I mean,
And that's why you get
stuff.
A deduction because we don't have to spend as much
time.
I love this stuff because investor schooling is just amazing. When we teach this stuff, we teach real estate, we teach stock ops, we teach stock market. We did a whole thing on the stock market on Thursday. We explained how the stock market works.
For the basic,
And
a lot of people don't know.
And everybody says, ask me, well, which account should I have? The answer is how many can you have?
All of them, exactly. You should have every single account. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about. We could talk about SEPs. We could talk about
Simples.
Yeah,
solo 401k.
There's so many different ways that we talk about this stuff, and we have Carl come in and talk about them, too.
Well, I do have another question for Carl before we finish. We talked about when you have health insurance and your deductible is over a certain amount of money. I think when your deductible is over 1500,
a high deductible,
Right. Yeah, but what is a high deductible?
It's 1500 now.
I think it is 1500 this year. It changes every year.
So if your deductible is 1500, what's the benefit you get?
You can do a health savings account where you can put the money in ahead of time, get a deduction for that year. Now, if you wanted to, you know, let's say you had an operation and you needed that money.
Yes.
You can take it back out. It's available to you 24/7. You can take it out and spend it for that year. Let's say you lost your job or something and you needed health costs for things, for doctors, et cetera. You could take that money out and use it.
That's amazing. So, and do you still have the benefit that before April 15, you can still deposit for an HSA for previous year?
If you had an HSA.
No, if I didn't?
If you didn't, no.
No, okay.
You have the HSA, but you can look at where you get your insurance, ask the guy if it's an HSA plan, if it's a high
deductible.
High deductible.
And what's the benefit of this plan again? When you get a high deductible plan, HSA plan?
Well, it used to be cheaper.
Okay.
One, and I don't know if it still is or not because I got forced onto Medicare. But it used to be cheaper. And the other one is you're allowed to contribute to a health savings account, which gives you a deduction in that money that year. So, I mean, I think everybody should have high deductible HSAs because you get that deduction no matter what, whether you're going to save it for later or you're going to use it for this year.
Amazing.
All right, cool. I love it. All right, so... Real quick, so we got. I'm not sure how much time we have. I think we have 2 minutes left.
Let's continue as much as we can.
No, that's fine. let's do this. So real quick, so if somebody wants to open up a IRA with Counterplan and invest in other things besides the traditional stuff, how's the best way to reach you?
Counterplan.com is our website. You can schedule an appointment there. And again, if the people that pick up your appointment can't answer your questions, just ask them, say, hey, can I have a call with Carl, and you'll do it. But camaplan.com or call our office number 215-283-2868. 215-283-2868.
And of course you can come to Investor Schooling and learn how to do this. That's the key. Learn how to do it. Once you learn how to do it, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. You can make 8, 10, 15, 20, whatever. I mean, you can. I'm not telling you will.
I was pretty sure I knew all that.
Money on your IRAs and your Roth IRAs, your traditional IRAs, and you can invest in anything you want. The greatest thing is investing in real estate because especially with an IRA, you've got lots of time to invest in real estate. You should be putting in, as of this year, and actually you should backdate next year last year, you should be putting in the maximum. You should do it in a Roth IRA, putting in the maximum, and do it immediately.
I'm going to.
And then we'll talk about where to put that money, because there's a couple of different places to put it. We're kind of out of time, but I have all kinds of cool strategies that I use for people that put money into the IRA through Counterplan, invest in certain places. When it builds to a certain number, you then put that into real estate or a loan, and then you use that extra income to invest some more. But I can't get into it now because I think we have 15 seconds left.
Okay.
So I want to tell everybody to go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com, and come see us. I'm Larry Steinhaus. We were talking to Ami Marad, my co-host, and, of course, Carl Fisher from Counterplan. I want to thank you again for coming out, Carl. I want to thank you for Natasha for making sure we got on the air. Even if we got on late, we got on the air. And we'll see you guys on Thursday, investorschooling.com.
Thanks, Larry.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.